Most of you are probably familiar with the expression around the horn. It's a baseball term back when America used to play baseball. Works like this. You got a runner on first and second. The batter drives a grounder to the third baseman. He tags third, whips it over to second, tags second, and then in a very lightning throw gets the guy at first. It's a triple play around the horn. And we have a triple play of around the horn stories that are around the bend today. Three stories I wanted to cover, so let's just get to them. Now, the first one, obviously, is the speech that Joe Biden gave to the nation. And as you can see from this photo, the House of Representatives is filled with the people who actually voted for Joe Biden. Everybody in that room was wearing a mask, and everybody in that room was vaccinated. So they're wearing their masks during this speech in order to signal the American people that the danger's not over yet and that we must continue to be vigilant against the spread of COVID-19, and we must wear the masks that either do a lot of good or don't do any good, depending on what day it is when Dr. Fauci's speaking. But here's the logical question I want to ask. Since the number of deaths has just dropped off the charts, and since infections are going continually down because of the vaccination and because of the greatest scientific miracle of the 21st century so far, is Operation Warp Speed, Donald Trump didn't actually develop those vaccines. But what Donald Trump did do was something much harder than that. Operation Warp Speed is the textbook example of what can happen if somebody has the will and the power to get the government out of the way. Private enterprise produced these vaccines in a year. It's unheard of. But in any event, back to the mask question. When did the masks come off? And what I mean by that is this. COVID-19 is going to be here forever. Forever. It's never going away. There was one chance to stop it, and the Chinese Communist Party decided to allow international travel for 2 weeks when they knew they had an infectious disease, and they stopped travel from Wuhan to other parts of China, but allowed it to go out into the rest of the world. They did that on purpose, but once it got out to the rest of the world, it's out, and everybody knows it. So it is never going to go away. Since it's always going to be here, we are always going to suffer COVID-19 deaths from now until the end of time. It is not going away. It's going to kill people the way the flu does, and cold, and all these other things that we've had to find a way to live with. So the time will never come when they can say no more COVID deaths. So how many? On a bad year, we lose 60,000 people to the flu. We weren't wearing masks then. When does the COVID mortality rate reached the point where it's okay to go out there without a mask? And my answer is, as far as the politicians are concerned, is it will never get that low. They love us wearing masks, absolutely love it. And so we're left with a situation now in the world where the national policy of the most powerful economy in the world is best described by a group of satire writers who have been putting out the best satire I've ever read in my life. And here's the news from today's Babylon Bee. CDC now recommends wearing a seatbelt even when you're outside the car. The article goes on to say the guidance is especially important if you're in a large group of people at the park or an outdoor event, said Dr. Stiku Pumibum. Risks of collision leading to bone breaks or concussions dramatically increase in large groups of people. Billions could die. Like all great satire. The reason it's so good is because it is based so much on the truth. And now we get down to the brass tacks of story number one. The idea that life can be lived in perfect safety. This is one of the two or three great enemies of modern society, this insane idea that somehow we are guaranteed a life without sickness or disease or death of any kind whatsoever in automobiles. No. We're all going to die in our sleep at 102, surrounded by loving relatives. And anything other than that is not only a tragedy and a crime, but something that the government should be looking into and trying to fix. So, yes, you can make any case on this insane, ridiculous argument. Well, we're going to continue the mask because people continue to die from COVID-19. And we're going to continue to shut down the economy in California because people continue to die from COVID-19. And on and on and on and on and on. Well, people continue to die from COVID-19, that's true. And they continue to die from heart disease as well, and traffic accidents, and cancer, and suicide. Except the suicide numbers are way up because the deaths that we're trying to prevent from COVID are just being slipped over to the other side of the balance pan. So It's not just the insanity and the political gamesmanship that's at the bottom of this. At the bottom of this is the idea on that part of the country that wears two or three masks inside their cars when they're by themselves, mostly because they want everybody else to know that they're one of the good ones, one of the ones that Dr. Fauci would approve of. But it just doesn't work that way. And when society gets so far away from the reality of your personal demise as a possibility, then you're going to see crazy things like this happen. And as I've said for the last couple shows now, that's a good thing. People know crazy when they hear it, and they see crazy. They know crazy. It's obvious it's crazy. And the more crazy they see, the more of a pushback there's going to be. So that's the tag at third. Now we swing the ball over to second base. There's an article here that actually kind of walked back a little bit, but it was basically saying that Virginia schools were going to do away with advanced math classes for grades K through 10 in the name of equity. Now, since this article was originally published in the collegefix.com, the Virginia Board of Mediocrity has made some sort of statement saying, no, what we said, we didn't really say, but nevertheless, it takes us to another story because this is happening and it's going to continue. So here we go to our friends at the College Fix again, and just along the same lines. Boston Public Schools suspend advanced academic program due to racial equity concerns. First of all, let's talk about that word equity. Anybody with a brain, that'd be all of you, needless to say, understands that the word equality has a problem. Because when applied in anything other than a mathematical sense, equality has two different metrics. There's equality of opportunity and equality of result. Equality of opportunity means everybody starts at the same starting line, and the fastest runners run the fastest, and the slowest run the slowest. It's equal because everybody starts from the same place. No one is advanced. No one is held back. That's equality of opportunity. Equality of outcome, equality of result, is where everybody crosses the finish line at the same time, which means that, if you think about it, every single person has to be held back to the speed of the slowest runner. That's what they are now calling equity. Whenever you hear equity from this point forward, remember, they're not talking about an ownership share in something. Equity, as applied today by the left, is the idea that there will be absolutely identical equality of outcome, equality of result. And herein lies a problem. When progressives talk about equity, they kind of sell it in the way that we just want to raise everybody up to the same equal level. But unfortunately, it doesn't work that way, and there's a pretty clear way to understand why. Let's say that I have been selected to race against Usain Bolt in the 100-meter dash. And we're going to start at the same starting line. And because of equity, we're going to cross at the finish line at the same time. Absolutely photo finish, no first or second place, a perfect tie. What a great outcome. Yeah, that's by the way, that is the definitive world of the left, a tie. The one thing that anybody who ever appreciated anything about anything hates the most, a tie. We went to all this trouble, it's a tie. They love it. It's great. It's good as it gets. But back to the ridiculous example. The left seems to think that if I run the 100-meter dash against Usain Bolt, and if I do that often enough, I will get faster. That sooner or later, I will get faster until finally I'm running as fast as the fastest man in the world, and we can both cross the finish line together in perfect equity. And this is where the theory does run into a snag or two, because unfortunately for the left, and I mean this sincerely despite all the snark, because if this theory were true, then life would be grand. Everybody would come up to the level of the highest performer. Everybody would come up to the level of the smartest people, the richest people, the fastest people. It would be an advance for everybody. That would be great, except for the fact that it's not true and it doesn't happen. That's no problem for them, but it's a problem for us. So what happens if I have to continually run a race against Usain Bolt in the 100-meter dash? I'm never going to run as fast as that guy. Never. And the only way we can cross the finish line is by slowing him down. And that's exactly what's going on when they talk about elimination of advanced math classes, and they talk about the elimination of what used to be called independent study classes or gifted programs. They're all under assault, and I'll get to why they're under assault in just a second, although it's not going to be a big mystery to you. They're all under assault because the idea of somebody doing better than someone else destroys the entire idea of the social philosophy, socialism philosophy, right? If somebody runs faster than somebody else, then there's got to be some reason for that, and that reason's got to be racism. And if it's not, then you have to acknowledge that different people have different abilities. That's going to mean they're going to have different outcomes, and that's not allowed for them because their entire philosophy is predicated upon selling the idea to people who run slowly that they can run as fast as Usain Bolt, which is a very flattering thing when you think about it. So the reason that Boston is talking about getting rid of their advanced academic program is because of the following. Over 70% of students in the AWC, that's the advanced work class, are white and Asian, despite the district being 80% black and Hispanic. Acceptance to the program was decided via third grade test scores on the popular Terra Nova standardized test. Those who obtained the necessary scores are then put into a lottery for admission. Just for a moment there, a lottery for admission into advanced study classes. I've noticed, having been to high school and college, that there was no lottery for admission for the kids that ran the fastest or for the best athletes. They were aggressively recruited. But no, even now, if you happen to score highly on this, you still have to take your chances. It's like firing squad, I guess. Somebody's got to have a blank in their rifle so everybody else can feel better about themselves. But it goes on. Brenda Caselius is the superintendent of this school district in question. And Superintendent Caselius said, quote, "There's a lot of work we have to do in the district to be anti-racist and have policies where all of our students have a fair shot at an equitable and excellent education," unquote. She added students already in the program can continue, but further programming decisions will be made, quote, "at the principal level," unquote. So now we're at the heart of the matter, right? In a district that's 80% black and Hispanic, 70% of the kids in the advanced work programs are white or Asian, and that has to be due to racism. Maybe it's due to something else. So let's get down to brass tacks on this. Is it possible that this is due to inherent intelligence due to racial differences? That's possible. Yep, that's definitely possible. I do have a compelling piece of evidence, a number of compelling pieces of evidence to suggest that that is not the case. And the most prominent of which is the example of Booker T. Washington, but more importantly, the example of the people that Booker T. Washington went on to educate. Booker T. Washington, through sheer hard work and force of will and force of character, who the man had the finest character of anybody I've ever read of in my life, found that if you had people sufficiently motivated and if you were willing to get out and take a shovel and go work in the fields to grow your own corn to pay for the school the same way that he did, is that people would rise to that level of excellence. And the students at the Tuskegee Institute not only had higher test scores than the white students around them, they also had a lower illegitimacy rates. They had stronger family ties. The record of the Tuskegee Airmen in World War II was exceptionally good. And not to put too fine a point on it, but when I think about people like Ben Carson or Condoleezza Rice or Clarence Thomas or Thomas Sowell, people who I'm not fit to buff the intellectual shoes of, I am much more inclined to believe that these differences are caused by two things. First of all, there's the self-inflicted wound of communities that make studying into something to be avoided at all costs. If you're smart or doing well in school, you're acting white and you're a traitor to your race. This is what the Democrats and the progressives have put into people. This is how they continue to keep blacks and Hispanics as slaves on the Democratic voting plantation by basically telling them that if you decide to do well in school, culturally they tell them this, you know, then you're a sellout. You don't even belong to your own social group. So there's a fair amount of the internal thing there too. But mostly, I think what's responsible for this distinction is the soft bigotry of low expectations. The idea that, and this is the essence of the progressive worldview, it's the idea that these poor people can't possibly compete. And because it's so unfair, And because they've been treated so badly, we have to find a way to provide equity. And that is the most racist, condescending, insulting, destructive, vicious, arrogant ideology in America today. And it's the prevailing ideology in America today. So, yet another milestone on the decline of America's public education system, once the pride of the world, and now continuing to just tumble into the abyss. If there were students in schools that were managing somehow, as I did 40, 50 years ago, to get a bit of an education in spite of the school system, that escape route is closed now. And this, of course, is the kind of problem that can only be solved by an entirely parallel educational system, utterly parallel to this worship of mediocrity. I'd be willing to bet you that if you were to go into the private study of Superintendent Brenda Caselius, I guarantee you that if she had a piano, there would be a bust of Salieri on top of it. Anyway, tagged out at second, and now for the quick lightning throw to first. The recall effort in California to bring Gavin Newsom to some level of accountability has reached the threshold so that it will now be on the California ballot. And certainly that's a hopeful sign, but what's especially telling is listening to the official response from Governor Newsom about why so many Californians are leaving the state, why the state is falling apart in front of our eyes, why the roads are simply disintegrating, why entire cities of homeless people can be found everywhere, under every freeway overpass in the city, why people are dying of bubonic plague in downtown Los Angeles, why San Francisco has to have smartphone apps to determine the best way to walk through the city and avoid the largest concentration of human feces and needles. All of these reality things got nothing to do with why Gavin Newsom is unpopular. Let's have a quick look at Governor Newsom's official response to the recall effort.
Who's behind the partisan recall of Governor Gavin Newsom? Anti-vaccine QAnon extremists, violent white supremacists like the Proud Boys who attacked our nation's capital on January 6th, and the same right-wing Republican politicians who supported Donald Trump's attempt to overturn the election. Of course, paid for by the Republican National Committee. Instead of helping fight the pandemic, National Republicans are coming to fight Californians. Add your name to help stop the Republican recall. It's a power grab.
Stop the Republican recall. It's a power grab. It's a power grab trying to somehow lay low the individual who goes to $400 dinners in the middle of the pandemic without masks, shoulder to shoulder with other people because they contribute to his campaign, who daily issues edicts like, I shall allow some Thanksgiving, but some other kinds of Thanksgiving I shall not allow, who has not done any single thing ever that had any kind of sense, any kind of rationality, any kind of reason, the person who a judge launched an injunction against for abuse of power. All of this, I don't have to go through all of this again. Let me just tell you what the takeaway from this is. There's a large number of people in California that are not happy with how California is being run. And unfortunately for the rest of the country, they're probably showing up in your neighborhoods now. But those that haven't moved means that there are people here who still are in California and are not very happy because ultimately in a free country, or what's left of one anyway, the ultimate liberty is the liberty to vote with your feet. Right? This place sucks. I'm out of here. And that's been happening in droves, in an ever-increasing flash flood. Gavin Newsom claims that this is all due to Republicans coming after him. And by the way, as you could see from the video, the Republican National Committee dedicated the sum of $250,000 to the recall effort. Boy, you take that money and spread it out among 55 million people. That comes to... I know I got my 12 cents in order to be part of this. But this is the point, right? When you make an ad like this and you fail to acknowledge any of the shortcomings and you make the whole thing into the only people that are unhappy with the way California is governed are white supremacists and Nazis, then what you're doing when you run this ad is you are telling people who are Democrats, liberals, progressives even, who see with their own eyes how the state is falling apart, who may or may not even be in favor of the recall effort, but who nevertheless can tell that the state is heading for, it's not heading for catastrophe, it's well into catastrophe and accelerating into catastrophe. When you run an ad like this saying that, oh, no, all of this disapproval is the result of the Proud Boys and QAnon and the Republicans who are trying to steal power away from this magnificently governed state, you know whose fault it is? I'll tell you whose fault it is. It all is the fault of that rotten, no good for nothing Trotsky. It's Trotsky's fault. It's Dr. Goldstein's fault. This happened in the Soviet Union, and it's happened in other governments as well. So what we're seeing now is what we're going to see in the Soviet Union. Things won't be bad for very long, because when people know that they're being lied to on a daily basis by the government, they no longer take the government seriously. And then, when it's assumed that everything is a lie, and we've reached that point quite a while ago now, then the people have no respect for the institution of government at all, which is a catastrophe, but which is also the necessary step to clean all of this out. I know a lot of people think that's just that ship has sailed and the chance for that is gone. I become more convinced every day that the more crazy they pump out, and they are working overtime on the crazy, the more people realize that this whole thing is just, the whole system has just got to go. When I say the system, I mean what the system has become. This tumor that grew out of the Constitution, it's got to go. No one's happy, and things are getting worse, and everybody knows it. America, founded by geniuses, run by idiots.